I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but, you know, we know that at top echelon is our next guest. He is joins us the first Tuesday of every month. He is the chief meteorologist at WFSB Channel 3, has been there for umpteen years. I remember watching this guy from, I don't know, like 79 or 80, I think it was. I don't know. Maybe it was the early 80s. Yep. Bruce DePriest. Good morning, Bruce.
You got that right, 1978.
Yeah, let me tell you. I go back. I remember, I remember this. I remember Charlie Bagley.
Yes.
Of course, Hilton Catterly, but everybody remembers Hilton Catterly. That's almost a given. He was such a unique character. Because of that, it made him stand out. Everybody would know Hilton Catterly. How many? I don't know. First of all, he's the only Hilton I know other than the hotel chain. Paris Hilton Catterly. Go ahead.
He was very folksy. You know, people loved him. And I had the honor of working with Hilton from 1978 to 1998 when he decided to retire.
Right. That's right. And I was actually at that event. Or was it the Hartford Club? I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was there. I was also there for Gail King when she retired. I was at that event as well. And I also remember, was it Ken Gary?
Ken Gary, absolutely.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, Ken Gary, he was a genius. He was one of these very, very smart Mensa types. And Ken was one of my mentors, you know, along with Jim McDonald, John Erickson, Bill Mammon. Those are the guys with the old Travelers Weather Service that took me from the college years into the real world of weather forecasting.
And I'm sure you know, well, my cousin, Joe Fury.
Is that your cousin?
Well, Tracy is my cousin. So by marriage, Joe, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, those are two of my favorite people on the planet. Okay, so get this. Joe Fury was my best man in my wedding.
I actually know that.
Joe and I are best friends.
I did know that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's one of the nicest human beings on the planet. He really is.
He is. And I also worked with him I spent 9 years at Fox 61, by the way.
Okay.
And of course he was a meteorologist there. And we would overlap. Yep. I was on in the afternoon, and he would already be there at like 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And so we'd overlap time a little bit, and we did a couple of things on air together, and then that, we just, you know, then he left. I'm sorry, I left. I think I left first because I got elected into the legislature and into the House.
That's right. Yeah, I was reading up on all that stuff. You got quite the background.
unlike a person that was an icon at one station for 40 plus years. I mean, that right there is probably a lot more impressive than my resume. That's for sure.
Well, let's put it this way. It's highly abnormal.
Yeah, especially this day and age. You're absolutely right. What do you attribute that to then?
Well, first of all, I hate moving, whether it's moving from a house to another house, and I don't like changing jobs. Well, I don't know. I guess they liked me over the years. They kind of kept me around.
Well, really, what's not to like? Because I tell you, really, when I talk to people about one of their favorite segments, I've told you this before, I know I have, is when Bruce DePriest joins us once a month. I'm telling you, people, they get more insight to you. They see a different side of you than what, you know, you got a sense of humor that, you know, and that you really are deeply into weather other than just the forecast of the day or what's coming up in the next week with the short amount of time that's allocated for weather. Unless there are exceptions. If they're in the middle of a storm, more time, of course, is allocated. But, you know, people really, we hear this all the time. They email us, they call us, and even when we talk to people in public, they're like, oh, we love when you have Bruce DePriest on. So,
you know, I love it too, because then, you know, you ask questions that people really want to know, and I just love that kind of a format, a question and answer format. It works well. You get a chance to really have insight into what people are really concerned about when it comes to the weather.
And I actually have a couple of more questions for you.
Okay.
When it comes to that. So last month we were speaking a little bit about the weather pattern and how it's choppy. And that, you know, we were having a couple of nice days and then a few rainy days and then one or two nice days and then several rainy days. Well, so people are noticing now, and this is one of the questions. Actually, this question came in about two or three different people.
Okay.
They've noticed that since the beginning of the year, it's been windy.
Yes. You know, okay, so I've noticed that, and a lot of people have noticed this over not just the beginning of the year, but over the several years, that we've had more windy days than normal. Now, I can't argue with that. I mean, I've noticed, they said, wow, it's been awfully windy lately, and even over the last 4 or 5 years, I've kind of noticed that there seems to be more high wind events.
Yeah.
What that would attribute to is, you know, of course, the strength of weather systems that we're dealing with, you know, the stronger storm gets and the stronger high pressure gets and get the gradient between the two. That's what drives the wind, what we call a pressure gradient. So, you know, I mean, there is definitely reason to believe. Are we having stronger storms, perhaps? But we haven't had a lot of snow. We've had storms. Of course, you know, April was pretty wet.
Well,
we talked about how April was going to be volatile and, of course, we had that snowstorm, too, for parts of the state.
Right.
And it was a colder than normal month. You know, the weather pattern flipped from the winter. We went from warmer than normal in the winter to substantially cooler than normal in April. But it's these strong storms that really drive the wind. And I got to believe that that has something to do with it. That's something I really got to look into, Gary, quite honestly, because I'm a little bit confused on that topic, but it is something that people have noticed, not only this year, but in previous years, too.
And no one mentioned anything previous year, because I said, you know, they said, Gary, think about it. Hasn't it been windy lately? And I'm like, geez, yeah, but it's not just lately. It probably goes back a couple of months. And then somebody brought it to my attention just over the weekend, because with all the beautiful weather, we were talking weather, and I'm like, yeah, we got Bruce DePriest coming up on Tuesday. And they're like, ask him about wind, because I've noticed, and this is somebody else saying this, I've noticed that since like the beginning of the year, it's not just over the last month or so, it's been over the last 4 or 5 months. So you're saying that it even goes back prior or previous to the beginning of the new year.
Yeah, people have said that to me that, you know, several years ago, why is it getting so windy? Of course, you know, in March and April, it's natural for it to be windy because you're getting the cold air aloft. The atmosphere is still trying to warm up from the winter. So you get cold air aloft, and then you get the stronger sunshine heating the ground. And that tends to mix high wind speeds from aloft down to the ground. And that happens a lot in you know, March and April. Of course, it was April a long time ago when Washington recorded their highest wind speed. So, you know, it's natural it'd be windy in March and April. Since the beginning of the year, well, that could be kind of unusual.
All right, so here we are in May. All right, so a couple of things that that I've noticed here. Number one, we'll talk about weather. We'll talk about weather first, and then the daylight in a moment.
Okay.
Beautiful, absolutely gorgeous weekend that we had. And yesterday was an interesting day because it started off warm and then it kind of transitioned. By 3:30, 4 o'clock, I was like, oh, my goodness, what happened here? But it was this morning that I really got struck with it. First of all, I got to get up early every day anyways because I have to be here so early. But when I got up, I forgot that I turned off the heat over the weekend. And when I got up this morning, I'm like, I'm shivering. I'm like, oh, and I was shivering. I'm going, oh, no, I hope I don't have the corona here, you know. And I'm like, no, I'm shivering because the heat is off.
Yes, we did the same thing. We turned our heat off because the house got warm over the weekend.
Right.
And then this morning it was 65. So I said, I think I'll crank the heat up a little bit.
So here's my question then. I'm looking at your forecast or WFSB forecast that is on TV here. And noticing like we're back into the low 50s even, huh?
Well, you know, this week...
Is that typical for May?
No. There's a very unusual pattern setting up. First of all, this week, it's going to be cooler than normal. We're right around 68 is the normal high for this time of the year. And that will rise up to 75 by the end of the month. But this week, the best we're going to do is 50s and low 60s. So we're going to be averaging about 5 to 10 degrees cooler than normal. The main thrust of cold air is going to be coming in behind a storm on Saturday, and this is a highly unusual situation. We have two weather features that we're watching. One is called the Pacific North American Oscillation, and another one is the NAO, the North Atlantic Oscillation. The Pacific Oscillation is going to go highly positive, and the North Atlantic Oscillation is going to go highly negative. So what it means for us is that unusually cold air is going to plunge southward out of Canada, and we could be having record cold this coming Saturday and Saturday night.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So I would say to anybody who is a gardener, do not plant peppers, tomatoes, or anything like that, because this is a situation that, you know, we may not get out of the 40s for highs on Saturday, and that's with clouds and showers and even
that's crazy.
Wet snowflakes in the hail.
And it was 81 on Sunday, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I remember when I was going to college in Lowell, Massachusetts, I think it was 1977. It was in May. We had 80 degrees in early May. Then we got 8 inches of snow on May 9th. And then a week later, it was 80 degrees again. I don't see 8 inches of snow coming our way Saturday. But believe me, I would not be surprised if we see some wet snowflakes flying through the air on Saturday, especially in the higher elevations.
Are you serious? That's crazy. And I know people say that's welcome to Connecticut's weather, you know, and you can wear shorts one day and a sweatshirt the next. But that's pretty extreme when you're at the beach in 81-degree temperatures, and then 1 week later to the day that you're bundling up because you've got snow flurries outside.
Exactly. And that's with wind, too. So, you know, we're talking about wind chill Saturday that will probably be in the 30s. Now, the one thing that I am concerned about for the Saturday night and Sunday morning is if the wind drops off. If you have clear skies and the air is cold and then the wind drops off, your temperatures could really go down at night. Mm. Hopefully that won't happen. You know, I'm hoping that the wind stays up Saturday night, because if it doesn't and we start dropping to between 25 and 30, then that could raise concerns for the orchards, you know, sure, the peach blossoms and things like that. So, I mean, yeah, cold air this time of the year when things are, you know, get going, you get those days in the 70s and low 80s and everything is booming, and all of a sudden, boom, you get a cold snap, and that puts things in jeopardy. But anything that's tender vegetation, you know, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, you just got to wait till to the end of the month when it finally warms up. I always use, you know, I generally use Memorial Day as my time when I get out there and put peppers and, you know, tomatoes and plants like that in the ground. Now, there are signs that it's going to be warming up in the second half of the month once we get past the 15th and 17th. But
really?
In the meantime, yep, the temperatures are going to be staying well below normal, and Saturday is going to be a rude awakening, I'm afraid.
Well, once we get through the weekend, then, it should be all pretty easy street after that.
A little bit better.
A little bit.
We won't get back to normal. I think we have to wait until after the 15th before we start seeing temperatures that will be right up there, you know, at or above 68 or 70 again.
Another question, a question somebody else had then. I want to move along to another question here, and that was regarding earthquakes in out on the West Coast. There seems to be a higher number of earthquakes in the West Coast, in California more specifically. But I always say that, but isn't California notorious for having earthquakes? But I guess there's even more than normal. Okay, and how can that relate to weather here in southern New England? Because we really don't get tornadoes all too often, although I do remember a few years back, Weathersfield got struck with a tornado and did damage in there. West Hartford, maybe, I think, was hit as well. How does let me phrase it this way. Is there an unusually high number of those type of weather occurrences or is it happening more now in a higher abundance than ever before?
And now, you were talking about earthquakes in California?
Yeah. And how does that relate? Is there any relation, I think, is what he was asking, to the earthquakes in the higher number of earthquakes in California? Does it have anything to do with weather here in southern New England?
No. Okay. There's no correlation known that between earthquakes and weather. So that's one good thing.
Okay.
No, there's no correlation. That's pretty much, you know, in the ground. And we feel it at the surface, but it does really not have much of an impact on the atmosphere at all. Unless, you know, of course, there's volcanic activity associated with with earthquakes, which there can be on some of the islands, then that could throw clouds of ash into the atmosphere, and that would tend to reduce the amount of solar radiation that reaches the Earth. But generally speaking, earthquakes do not have an impact on our weather here in Connecticut.
Okay, well, I'm sure he'll be nice. He'll be happy to hear that.
That's great.
Yeah, and finally, well, let's talk about a little bit about daylight savings we're noticing here. I love this, where I'm getting up in the morning. As I said, it's really early, and it's light outside. And by the time I actually get to the station at 5:30, it's you know, the sun is actually out. I'm really enjoying this, but I also realize that we were like about a month or so away from the summer solstice, in which after that, the days will start getting shorter. It's bizarre as that seems. It's true.
It is true. Yeah, we're gaining daylight at about the rate of 2 minutes a day now. That will slow down. And, you know, our latest sunset in the Hartford area is at 8:30. And we're getting pretty close to sunset at 8 o'clock now. So we've still got, 30, 40 minutes to gain in the evening and a little bit more daylight to gain in the morning. I think our earliest sunrise is around 5:15. Oh. And, of course, for me, that's not good because my bedroom is on the eastern side of the house. I work late at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like, oh, my God, the window.
Right.
I have to revisit the curtains that we have in our bedroom. But, no, it's really nice. It's nice to have all this daylight. And the tricky thing is a lot of people get faked out, you know, when it's cool and windy like it was yesterday. I was outside doing yard work and loving it because it was cool, it was windy, I wasn't getting beaten by the sun. But if you get a day where it's windy and it's cool, people think, oh, the sun's not that strong. But they go out there and all of a sudden, why do I have a sunburn? Well, the strength of the sun really does not have much of a relation to the temperature. Hmm. So, you know, it could be 50 degrees outside and, you know, at noontime, and you could get a nasty sunburn this time of the year.
It's interesting. It's behind behind the clouds. All right, my final question, and then we got to take a break. Are you more of a summer person or more of a winter person?
You know, my favorite months are May and October. We'll put it that way.
The transition
I
months.
I love, because October is beautiful with the foliage, and May, of course, you get everything that's blooming. Uh-huh. Those are beautiful months, and, you know, generally speaking, they're not too cold and they're not too hot. Except for this Saturday. but I think as far as forecasting goes, I'm more of a winter fan. I like winter forecasting. I am not a big fan of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes, I have to say.
Well, I don't know who is, but...
I have a little bit of, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I know that there's going to be a day where, you know, there's potential for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes, I start getting a knot in my stomach because I just don't like that. And, you know, I know Joe Furey, he's the same way. You know, he saw somebody get hit by lightning.
I know he did.
Years ago.
He was in his college, I think he was.
Yes. I believe the person, you know, he died because of the lightning strike, and Joe is right there.
You're
not a fan of thunderstorms either. I know somebody like Mark Dixon, whenever there's a severe thunderstorm or tornado threat, he says, bring it on. Because he's from, you know, Oklahoma and Arkansas, you know, where... they have more of that, but I'm much more of a winter forecaster. As far as, you know, enjoying the weather, you know, I would have to say I do like summer better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, as I get older,
personally,
cold weather.
Personally, you like summer, but professionally, you like winter.
Exactly.
Okay. Got that
there
straight.
There is a trend. You know, as you do get older, you don't tolerate the cold weather as well.
I was going to say, I'm not much of a fan of summer, of winter, any year, whether I was a young kid or my age now. I was just never much of a winter person, but, you know.
I am fascinated by big snowstorms, though. You know, I'm amazed at, you know, how you can get 2 or 3 feet of snow and it blows around. It's pretty, it's treacherous at the same time, but that always fascinates me.
Yeah.
To see something like that happen.
As long as it doesn't linger around too long. Hey, we got to take a break. Bruce, I can't thank you enough again, and we look forward to the first Tuesday of June.
Exactly. June, we'll be getting very close to the summer season by that point.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, it'll be the meteorological summer, correct?
June 1st.
Yes.
Absolutely. Meteorological for record-keeping purposes. June 1st is the beginning of the hurricane season and the meteorological summer.
Oh, boy. Hurricanes. Now you're going to get that listener who's talking, who gave the question about earthquakes. Now he'll get all nervous about the...
about the hurricanes.
About hurricanes and tornadoes. And we'll have other questions for you next month. Thanks again, Bruce. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Gary. You take care now.
You do the same.